Hello, this is Tracy Harding.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Tracy Harding, and welcome to Pearls of Power, 30-minute Bible teaching program. I'm starting on part two of the series, The Seven Spirits of God. The last time that we talked on part one is very interesting. I just want to say that it is not by might. The Word of God says it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God, the perfect Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, that is imputed unto us to give us the ability to do what we could not do in our own strength, to call those things that are not as though they were, to walk on water, to tell those mountains to be cast into the sea. It is that Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us that God has so graciously given us to cause us to be more than conquerors. The last time we talked in part one, just a brief overcap, the Spirit of God as found in the seven spirits of God, we saw in Revelation 4, verse 5, that it is none other than the Holy Spirit. We concluded with that. We also saw that in Revelation 1. We spoke that the piece of furniture that helps us to more understand the Spirit of God in the holy place was the seven candlesticks that represented the ongoing, non-ceasing power of God in the believer's life. And I had to work that up before we can really get into more detail about the specifics of the seven spirits of God. But we were able to cover the first two attributes of the Spirit of God on the first session, and that was the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of Wisdom. So today we are starting we're going to finish with the last five attributes of the Holy Spirit, which are and you will find these attributes listed in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 4. So the last five would be the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So we're going to start with, in part two, is the Spirit of understanding. Proverbs 8:14 says, I am understanding. Okay, God is understanding. He says that he is understanding, and he opens up our minds to give us understanding and comprehension. Without that understanding, we cannot comprehend the things of God. When Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, after he was resurrected, the Bible says that he opened up the scriptures to those men on that road and explained to them the things concerning himself. And that word opened up means to come into view, to cause the mind to be receptive. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of understanding, Jesus can open up our minds and cause us to understand those things that we once could not understand. I remember before I was a Christian, before I was saved, I cracked open the Bible, and it was like reading Hebrew. I was like, what is this? I mean, like, really, what is this? I mean, I couldn't understand it. But when I became a Christian and I began to sit under the Word and prayer, and it just opened up. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of understanding. God says the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of God, his ways and his will is understanding. He says, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, we must be enlightened to understand anything that pertains to God, because the natural man, the Bible says, cannot receive the things of God, because they are foolishness unto him, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually, by the Spirit of God, discern by that enlightenment that you receive through the Holy Spirit, that spirit of understanding, you will be able to understand and know God more intimately. The natural man does not understand the things of God. He cannot comprehend it. He just does not get it. Neither is he able to get it. He cannot grasp it because God is so much higher than the heavens is above the earth. So is God's ways than our ways. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of understanding, has to enlighten you. He has to open up your mind and cause you to see what you cannot see and hear what you cannot hear. And the Bible talks about that, you know, in seeing that they did not see and hearing that they cannot hear. And what it's referring to is we can hinder our understanding of God through our disobedience. If we want to understand more, we have to do something with what the knowledge that we currently have. God is just not, what I have understand about God is just not going to keep pouring information and revelation about himself or the spirit realm on someone that is not really doing anything with the current information and knowledge that they have. You have to do that. That's just the way it is. Over and over again, I study that in the Word of God. You have to, if you want more, you have to do with what you have already. You have to do something with what you already have. Isaiah 6:9 says, they keep on hearing, but do not understand. They keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Disobedience can hinder your spiritual perception, discernment, and understanding. The Bible says that the entrance of thy word giveth life. It giveth understanding to the simple. The word of God, when it is received into the heart of man, helps us to see life more clearly. Because we are viewing life from not our own point of view or perspective, but we are viewing life from God's perspective. I counsel you to meditate on the Word of God and so that you can really get a grip on what God is saying. Those truths can get in your soul, get saturated and planted in your heart through meditation. Meditation is not something that is promoted so much so in this day and age, but I'm telling you, it's throughout Scripture, meditation is very necessary, and if you really want to have a better understanding and a deep-rooted understanding. I'm not talking to some casual surface reader. But if you really want a deep understanding, you want that word deep in there, you want it planted in there, you want it rooted in there deep, meditation is the way to go. And as you're meditating, more truths will be revealed to you. The word will become alive to you. You understand more and more because you are putting in more effort through meditation to understand God's word. Abiding in the word turns on the light. It's the entrance of that word gives light. It gives understanding. The abiding of that word gives more light, more. It makes it more crystal clear. That's the spirit. That's the work of the spirit of understanding. Okay, to bring it to life to you, to bring it to light, to help you understand more of God and more of his word. The spirit of counsel. Let's move on to the spirit of counsel. Now, counsel is advice. When we speak of the spirit of counsel, we're speaking of advice, opinion, instruction, given in directing the judgment or conduct of another. Okay, so counsel in the Hebrew is etsah, E-T-S-A-H. It means, again, to advise, to plan. It's a purpose, a scheme, a strategy. Okay, the spirit of counsel is like a personal advisor. It's like a guide. it deals with things that are not necessarily etched out in stone, necessarily in the Word of God, such as should I have this surgery or not, or should I invest my money in this particular company, or should I enter into a business partnership with this person or not? Is this the right person that I should marry or not? Some things you need God's counsel for, and so that is the spirit of counsel. He lets you, God puts his input, his advice, his strategy into the situation because we need that. We don't know everything. We don't know what's around the corner, and so we need his advice. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct counsel. He shall direct thy path. Acknowledge means to recognize his authority, to call on him. God wants you to come to him for his advice on situations in your life. He wants you to understand how valuable his opinion, and he wants you to honor his input because God knows what's best for you, and God knows what's best for me. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor, Isaiah 28:29. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, Isaiah 46:10. The Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is here to guide us on every detail in life. And that's not to say that we don't have say-so over things in our lives, but many of the mistakes that we make can be avoided if we just sought the counsel of the Lord. If we just ask him what he taught, and he tells us that we should ask him. You know, God, you know, you ask God, well, what school should I go to? And he says, well, I don't want you to go to Morehouse. Go to Tuskegee. Well, you really want to go to Morehouse, but God has said go to Tuskegee. But so you went to Morehouse, and God had a husband for you in Tuskegee, a really good man that was going to set you up for the rest of your life. Y'all was going to live happily ever after. But you went to Morehouse and married someone, had children with him, and you got a divorce after 10 years and left to raise your children on your own and sent you through 18-plus years of pure hell. And that could have been avoided if you had just listened to the counsel of the Almighty. So many of the situations that God we get in is because we don't listen to the counsel of God. God sees what's up the road, and he knows what's best for us. And if we just would listen to his counsel, it can help us avoid a lot of painful circumstances and situations in our life that could otherwise have been avoided. The spirit of counsel is in our life to help us. David often inquired of God. And when you read in the Bible about the life of David, especially when he would go to fight battles with the surrounding nations, the Philistines and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the ites, he would often ask the Lord, should we go to battle? Should we fight? And the Lord would respond, and David would prevail. So, I mean, if that was good enough for David, it should be good enough for us. And he promises us. He makes the promise that if we ask him, then he will direct our path. So we have to utilize that the spirit of counsel that resides on the inside of us. It is there for our well-being, and it is there for our direction and our instruction. The Bible says, and his name will be called Counselor. God guides us with the spirit of counsel. That's found in Psalms 73:24. It says, you will guide me with your counsel. Right there in black and white. You will guide me with your counsel. Wait on the counsel of the Lord. Psalms 106:13. So And Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine. And that is the spirit of counsel. It's a wise thing to seek the Lord for advice when you just don't know what is what. And God promises to direct your path. Moving on to the spirit of might. Might is superior strength, power, or force. Of course, that is God. The spirit of might is superior strength, power, or force. Deuteronomy 3:24, thy mighty hand, according to thy might. Who is this king of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Isaiah 40:29 says he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might, to them that have no strength, to them that have no power, no force, he increases your strength. God is there when you feel weary by the spirit of might to give you that second wind, that give you that strength that you need to carry forward. I'm telling you, that particular aspect, attribute of the Holy Spirit is so invaluable to me. I have so many roles and responsibilities, and I call on the spirit of might. I call on that aspect of the spirit. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I call upon that often, and God gives me the strength that I need to pick up, get up, and keep going. It's the spirit of might. It's the gift of God. It is for his people. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're powerful. They're full of force, and they're there for you at your disposal. It is by the spirit of might. And let me tell you something. In Genesis 1, over and over and over again, we see that mighty power of God under the authority of God through faith working in over and over again when God says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the water separate from the earth. And God said, and God said, and God said. The power of might brought into existence what he wanted by faith. Okay, he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it was done. He spake, and it stood fast. He called what was not into existence by the word of his mighty power. Remember that. It was first in his heart. He said, let us make man in our image. You know, I want to create a heaven and earth. He first thought about it in the counsel of the Almighty, and then he spoke it out. Okay. And the spirit of the Lord was moving, and that spirit of might came forth, and that mighty power brought forth what was in his heart. And so the spirit of the Lord makes things happen in our lives, okay, because that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that mighty spirit also now resides as a child of God. And therefore, that same mighty power is there at our disposal. So let me tell you something. It's very, very important that you watch what you say, what comes out of your mouth. So many Christians are very, and I'm learning this, are very careful and callous with our words, but our words carry might. Our words carry power. You can create your reality by the power of your words because we are made in the image and likeness of God, and God speaks, and it's done. He commands us to speak, call those things that are not. It's not just a good hype. This is very, very important. It's very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, I believe it so strongly. I'm doing an exercise right now. I have an iPhone. I have my alarm clock set for every 3 or 4 hours. And when that alarm goes off, no matter where I'm at, even if I have to whisper it on my voice, I begin to speak the realities that I want to come to pass. It only takes about 15 to 20 seconds for what I'm speaking, but I'm doing that, and I've been doing it for over a week now, and it's from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night, every four, I want to say about 4 hours, my clock goes off. No matter what, I'm in the grocery stores, been in the dinner table, and I just start speaking what I want to come to pass. And then that's how powerful our words are. God says you call those things or not. You speak to those mountains. So some ministries call it the power of persuasion. Okay, you know, that's fine. But it's just not repeating scriptures over and over again. You just need to be very careful. It's more than that. It is the power of God on the mouth of the child of God that can change your circumstances around you. Call those things out. Speak life. The power of life and death are in your tongue. That's just not in the Bible to fill up space. God meant it because we are created in his image and his likeness. What he has done, he says, greater things that you can do. Peter says, silver and gold have I none. With his mouth, he says, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he got up and walked because he spoke in the spirit of might and that authority in his on his tongue quickened the lame man, and he walked. And we can do it too. And let me tell you, I have spoke to spirits, and they have left the room. I mean, I have to admit, when it first happened, I was a little shocked. But they obey because the Bible says that they must obey. So I'm just letting you know that, you know, God's word is true. You don't really operate in it because you don't know. But, you know, now you're learning. And go and study more about it. So with the spirit of might, we can move mountains. Those impossible situations, we just speak to the mountain. We can cause the winds and the waves in our life, those situations in our lives that want to cause trouble and chaos and strife. You can say, peace, be still. By the power that's on your in your tongue, and it has to be so, okay, because God says it. God, so, you know, that's very important for us to know, my people. So let's go on to the next and the final aspect of the Spirit of God, and that is the Spirit, the Spirit of knowledge, okay? The Spirit of knowledge, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I find that very interesting. The Hebrew for that, you can find that in Strong's 1847 Hebrew is da'at, D-A-A-T-H, D-A-A-T-H. And it's just to know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. For from his mouth comes knowledge. And it says, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom and understanding, they cry out for knowledge. And God says, when you pursue wisdom and understanding, that will lead you to inquire more about God, to inquire more about him. That is knowledge. Knowing God is knowledge. Because when you have wisdom and you have understanding, one of the things that will lead you to is, you know, God is serious. You know, God means what he says. I need to learn more about this God. Who is this God? Paul said that is all that he wanted to know, was to know Christ. In Philippians 3:10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The Bible says that he that hath knowledge spareth his word. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your ways. So one, the spirit of knowledge leads us to know God more, but the spirit of knowledge also will also lead us into knowing more things about our brother. I'll get into that more, but understanding, let me let you know something. You must have understanding and wisdom. It is a prerequisite to knowledge. Because how can you really say you know something if you don't understand it? The spirit of knowledge helps us to know matters that we would otherwise have no way of knowing. And that really goes into the nine gifts of the spirit, what they call the word of knowledge. So that sometimes the spirit will reveal things to you that you have no way of knowing. It's about people. It's the spirit of God leads us into understanding more about God. But it also gives us information about people, things that you just wouldn't regularly know about them, about situations, information that you really wouldn't have no other way of knowing than if the Holy Spirit would have had to have revealed it to you. The word of knowledge, it may be a thought. It may be an impression on our minds. Sometimes it could be a vision or the audible voice of God about a person or a situation they're going through. But let me tell you, God reveals this personal information about that person to encourage that person, to direct that person, to edify them, never to tear them down. Some people that operate in this gift, many prophets do. And I've seen some prophets really hurt people with the knowledge that they have had about a person. The delivery just killed the message. And I'm just not, God is a God of love and compassion, and there is a way you can deliver the message to that person without, ripping them to shreds. That is not the purpose that God gives you personal and private information about a person. It is always to edify, to encourage, and to exhort. Yes, it is to sometimes to rebuke, but God admonishes us to always deliver in love and consider yourself lest you fall into the same situation as that person. So that's really one of my pet peeves is, not being hateful when you're operating in the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation. And Peter operated in the word of knowledge when he knew Ananias and Sapphira were trying to, manipulate the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew the woman at the well had five husbands. Paul knew Ananias would come and lay hands on him and he would receive his sight. Elijah knew that Elisha was to see him. So the word of knowledge operates in each one of us, and it has operated in me in time past, and it still does. Well, I just know something about that person. It just came to me, and that's just a gift from God. It is the power of God operating in the believer, and that is to help and to guide. I really am running out of time. I had the fear of the Lord. Let me skip to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is a requirement. He says, what does the Lord require? But that you fear the Lord your God, he walk in all of his ways. The fear of the Lord is also, the spirit of the fear of the Lord is also necessary, and that it places you in proper perspective with God. It puts you, it helps you to understand God is God and you are man. The fear of the Lord is necessary. It keeps us humble. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, is the whole duty of man. And I'm going to skip down and just say, when you fear the Lord, God promises that when you let that part of the Holy Spirit operate in you, he promises that he will teach you, that you will continue following God when you fear God, that mercy will follow you, and that wisdom and knowledge will be enhanced in your life. God also says in Malachi, when you have the fear of the Lord, a book of remembrance is placed before him about you. You can find that in Malachi 3:16. And mercy is on the person that fears the Lord, and we are accepted by God when we fear the Lord, Acts 10:35. Now, without God, we can do all things. We need to ask God to enhance to engrow us in this, in the walking with the Spirit, and you will see how beautiful and how wonderful it is when you see these gifts and the Holy Spirit flowing in you. That is, I mean, I have to quit. That's it. But my name is Tracy Harding, and I thank you for tuning in to Pearls of Power. And I'm going to stop right now and let Dr. Hunter chime in.
Okay, Tracy, hold on. I got
yes,
a few people on the line. I want you to know that our God loves you, and I got a person on the line here. 3801, are you there? The last four numbers. All right. 2557. Yes. Hello? Hello? Are you there, 2557? Hello? Hello, 3801, are you there? Well, you know what? The thing I can say this is that the lesson you taught was a lesson that opened the hearts of the believers, and what you brought out was so magnanimous of what God is doing. And I say this to you, the faith is what moves the mountain, not an action of a person's word, but faith in God's word. Faith, as we were talking about the Sunday at the church in the class, the Bible says, Jesus said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. In the process of them coming across, they was having a lot of wind, roaring of the water, and Jesus went to sleep. And the disciples said, well, go wake him up. Lord, don't you think we're going to lose our life? And Jesus already knew what was going on. He's the master of it all. He just said to them, of you of little faith, see circumstances. And what you talked about tonight, when you know that you have it, you got to have that faith you're talking about. So I just want to say to you, Stacey, stay in the Word, stay with the Word, and I will say this here. No man can go above what God has given you. God has given directly you what he wants you to do. Nobody but you. And you said God puts it in a book of remembrance. God remembers everything. Let me see if I can open the lines up one more time. Hello, are you? Hello, are you there? 2557, okay. 3801, are you there? Hello? Hello? Are you there? Are you there? Is this from North Carolina? North Carolina, are you there? Hello, Hempstead, are you there? Well, I will say this to you.
How?
No, I'll say this here. I thank God for your teaching tonight. I thank God. See, I've come to understand a lot of people call a long list, but nobody wants to say a word, but you must have told something to help them. So I give God the praise, give God the glory. And I want to thank you. Hold on. Here come the lady from New Jersey. She's gonna say, let me say this here. This coming Saturday, it's gonna be the great event, and Tracy Harding in Houston is gonna be the host on the radio show for the banquet the school I'm going to. And she's going to host it. So I want y'all to keep in prayer and watch God move. But Tracy, don't leave the line right now. Hello, Sonia.
Hello, Dr. Sonia. How are you? Yes, I'm here.
Blessed. I'm blessed. We're waiting on you to come on and tell us what God has put on your heart.
Amen. What God has put on my heart is that 2 Timothy 1:17, the Word of God says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time to share your word. I pray that you speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. Let it be all of you and none of me. We bind every work of the enemy that tries to come up against us, against this station. And, Father, we loose all of heaven over us and over this airway and over all the people that are listening. Prepare our hearts to receive from you, Heavenly Father. And, Father, we just thank you for your manifestation of this word in our lives tonight. And we believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, this spirit of fear is a very strong spirit, and it carries a whole host of spirits with it. The spirit of fear, we can see it in the world operating. And, you know, in general, people think it's something normal. You know, it's good to have fear, I hear a lot of times. You know, it's a good, you got good fear and you got bad fear. But the bottom line is the Word of God says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." So for the Christian, none of the fear is good. And, you know, the Word of God tells us that he didn't give us that spirit, but God gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, the spirit of fear is, when you look it up in the dictionary, it's basically a coward, cowardice. You know, the spirit of fear is you living in a constant torment, in a constant hell. It gives you a false testimony. When fear is expressed, we recognize it as anger, abuse, disease, pain, greed, addiction, selfishness, obsession, corruption, violence, war. All this is from a spirit of fear. You know, you meet people and you see you can identify this spirit of fear immediately. You know, people are afraid of a relationship if they, you know, is this the right relationship? They're afraid if it is the right relationship or if, that it's not the right relationship. They're afraid if somebody doesn't like them or they're afraid if they, people like them. You know, a spirit of fear have you just flip-flopping. You know, you got a double mind going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a constant torment. You know, people are afraid of success. They're afraid of failure. You know, people are afraid of dying. They're afraid of growing old. They're afraid of, you know, wonder if my retirement's going to be enough. They got all kind of stuff. You know, they even send emails around. Don't touch the gas nozzle. Don't boil your water in a cup. They got all kind of stuff coming every different way. Hoarding, you know that people don't want to throw nothing away. They're scared to, you know, they're just tormented in all areas. They're scared of spiders. They, you know, we were like 100 times bigger than a spider. And people are scared of spiders, you know. There's so many fears in this world. You know, and this fear is tormenting. And God didn't give us. We're supposed to be dominating. We're supposed to have dominion over the earth. We don't have to be afraid. You know, the spirit of fear is not normal for a Christian. And you know what? We have to stand up and we have to stand against that. Because the spirit of fear brings in a whole host of things with it, sicknesses. It brings in other forms of demonic oppression with it. So we have to be real cautious and see these things for what they really are. You know, when people need to be ministered to correctly when they come to us for assistance on this spirit of fear. You know, one of the first and foremost door openers to a demonic spirit is the spirit of fear. This spirit can take on many forms, but its intentions are clear. No matter what kind of spirit of fear it may be, it intends to keep you from fulfilling the destiny that God has on your life.
and from living joyful, spirit-led existence. I mean, you know, it's coming to take your joy. It's coming to take your destiny. You know, and that's what it does. And it wants to keep you awake with nightmares. It wants to keep you from leaving your home. You know, people are stuck inside their homes. They're prisoners inside their own home because they're scared to go outside. You know, and it wants to keep you from getting past emotions. You know, it wants to get, you know, these physical wounds that we have, you know, and emotional wounds. This spirit of fear, you know, the people don't want to even get involved with anybody anymore because how they've been hurt in the past, they have a fear from that, you know. And just like I was saying before, this hoarding and collecting stuff, you know, people, you know, they show it on TV. You can't even walk through their house. They got a trail going through there because they got so much stuff, and it's something demonic wrong with that. That's not, you know, and it's just all awful the way the enemy have us prisoners in certain areas. And it's not just the world. It's in the Christian community as well, and we have to take a stand against the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. We have to take a stand against it, and we have to deal with it head on. We have to deal with this head on. Fear robs us of our identity in Christ and ultimately causes us to bring down others with us. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind, as 2 Timothy 1 and 7. And, you know, this message is for all of us tonight, the unbeliever, the believer, the backslider, wherever we are. This message is for us because we don't have to be scared no more. We don't have to walk around in fear no more. You know, fear, the spirit of fear is negative faith of the devil. We believe the lie when we fall into the spirit of fear. What the devil say, we believe what the devil says more than what the word of God says. When we allow fear to reign in our lives, fear is directly opposing the word of God. And most importantly, when we look at Revelations 21, if we can turn to Revelations 21 and 8, what it says here, Revelations 21 and 8, it shows us where fear will get us to. Because, you know, it has no good end to it. I want to hit that real quick before we go any farther. Because, you know, this fear can carry in the wrong direction. I'm at Revelations 21 and 8. It says, but the cowardly, that's the fearful, the cowardly, unbelieving, and it lists a whole host of other things here. Abominable, murderers, sexual immorality, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, fear is not going to get us anywhere. You know, I just wanted to, I really wanted to look at what where fear takes us to. But God has the remedy for us. He has the remedy for us. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but the spirit God gave us is power, love, sound mind. I just want to keep saying that for a minute. And I want us to take a look at the spirit of power. Power is linked to the authority. Power is linked to the authority that God has given us. Matthew 10 and 1 says that Jesus gave his disciples authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal disease and every affliction. If the disciples operated in fear, there's no way they could have used the authority they had been given. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Fear strips us of power. It strips us of the authority Jesus gave us as sons and daughters. If we skip forward in Matthew 10, going down to verse 7 and 8, it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. The disciples had been commissioned to preach the kingdom of heaven. They have been given authority, power to bring it with them. It has been given to them freely for the purpose of them giving it out freely. Remember I said freely you have received, freely give. You can't give what you don't have. Fear will close your hand to the power you have been given. Fear will close your hand to the power you have been given. The enemy does not want us to understand the power we have. He will use fear to strip us of authority.
My God.
God has given us this power, this spirit of power, this authority. God wants us free from fear, or operating in the spirit of power. This is our inheritance. This is our inheritance. Fear is not our inheritance. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God gave us a spirit of power. This is our inheritance. I want to go drop right on down to the spirit of love. Love and fear are enemies. Love and fear are enemies. Love in its pure form is unequivocally devoid of fear. You know
my
where
God.
I'm going. First John 4:18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. I think some versions say torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Love has been warped, perverted, and twisted in so many ways that pure love is looked upon. You know, they look at you like you're naive when you talk about this pure love, like the love in Corinthians. That's not being naive. That's what true love is. The world has it perverted. One of the ways fear manifests in love is through control. What we fear, we try to control. Our relationships suffer due to fear and insecurities. It can manifest through jealousy, anger, selfishness, and many other ways. However, when fear is removed, we can operate in the spirit of love. We have the ability to love the unlovable. That's what love is. We have the ability to love the unlovable. We can love our enemies. Come on there. It takes a lot to do that. We can love those that do not show grace. This is what we're supposed to be doing. When fear is removed, we can love like we're supposed to be loving. When we are free from fear, we can love as we are loved by the one, God, who loved us perfectly. Jesus is the one who loved us perfectly. That's exactly what perfect love is. It is Jesus. It's our Heavenly Father, the one who died on the cross to set us free from these spirits. And that's the main spirit, this fear. But it is also him moving through us in love to other people. For instance, if you are selfish and indulge your carnal flesh with things such as lying and cheating and stealing and gossiping and being manipulative, you will also reap what you sow in fear. Sin, any kind of sin attracts demonic spirits, and the spirit of fear is usually the first one through the door. That is why Paul tells us not to be anxious for anything. Anxiety is a form of fear.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm doing with this one. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're going right on over there to Philippians 4:6-8. We're going to look at this thing. Philippians 4:6-8. I'm going to give you a moment here. Philippians 4:6-8 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Finally, brethren, Finally, brothers,
fine.
Whatever is true,
fine.
Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That was the
think
NIV
about
verse.
It.
Yeah, think about it. Because, you know, we have to keep ourselves away from this anxiety. We got to keep ourselves away from this fear because we have the peace of God. We got God Almighty. We cannot allow the enemy to trap us like this. We cannot allow the enemy to throw us off course like this. And that's what his main tactic is. We don't have to be scared no more.
Talk, sister, talk.
Going right on with this, you know, looking at this thing, one thing about everything, you know, I like to look at the practical applications of, okay, how do we get there now? How do we get there now? How do we get there now? We have to guard our hearts. We are told to guard our hearts, and this is one of the most overlooked aspects of some of our walks, guarding our heart, guarding our heart. A victorious life is one that not only hears the word, but puts it into practice.
Amen.
It is
hallelujah.
Someone who searches the scriptures daily and applies it to their everyday life. You know, I was talking to my brother about this scripture, and you know what he told me? He said, I thought you knew that scripture. I said, I did know that scripture. I knew that scripture in my mind. I had a good head knowledge of it. And I could quote it to you if you told me you had some issues. I could say, oh, that's a spirit of fear. I could tell you what, I could identify it. But sometimes you can know something in your mind and have a head knowledge of it, and God can turn that light on. You can read that thing, but that scripture for 30 times, and on that 31st or that 301st time, God will shine that light on it. And you'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. I can turn that light off, can't I? I ain't got to have a night light on. I don't have to feel like this when something happens. You know, because all of a sudden, fear just set in on you. So we have to guard our heart.
We have to
do this daily. And we've got to be aggressive about applying it to our everyday life. Because as soon as we identify a fear going on in our life, us feeling anxious, we need to deal with it and cut that thing off at the pass. Because if we don't deal with it, it's going to carry us down a road that we don't want to go down. Application and demonstration. You know, one thing we used to say in the military is we have to walk our talk and actions speak louder than words. With these scriptures, we got to get up daily and we got to put this thing to work in our life. We can't just be sitting around quoting scriptures and throwing the Bible in the back seat after we come out of church. We got to get to work and we got to work this word. You know, and that's things that we do have to do. When we turn our life over to Christ, we raise our hand to enlist in the army of the Lord.
That's it.
If we're going to enlist in the army, we got to do it like the army say do it. You know, we got to live our lives by this word. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. We all need to check ourselves tonight and identify where we got fear rolling around and stop it. And it can be stopped right now because we don't have to live like this no more. We don't have to be afraid anymore. Okay? So just looking at this, we have to search these scriptures daily and apply it to our everyday life. They give love, and we've got to give this love to others without any ulterior motive. This person also guards that, you know, we've got to guard our heart and our mind from all unsavory images, music, and avoid the kind of people that will lead us astray. We've got to watch all these type of things and keep our guard up.
Amen.
Amen. Moving on with this, you know, one thing I want us to look at lastly before I hit my last topic on this is that when we look at what's going on with fear, we got to face it and deal with it, because this is the only life we got. This is our life going on right now. We don't get a. This is not a dress rehearsal, and we don't get redos on this thing. This is our life right now, and we need to live it to the fullest. God gave us this life for not to be held down, held captive by a spirit of fear. And I want to say to the Christians out there, I want to say to the unbelievers out there, I want to say to the backsliders out there, you don't have to live scared no more. We can take control of this thing right now. You take them phones off of mute, and let's get you put your issues before down. You need to turn your life over to Christ if you're an unbeliever, and you need to get yourself out of this spirit of fear. You ain't got to worry about these things no more. You don't have to live afraid no more. You know, the Bible calls us to live in confidence. It calls us to live with a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We don't have to walk around cowered down anymore. And we can deal with this thing right now. Now, it depends on how long you want to keep going like this. If you want to keep going past the night, that's on you. But right now, we bring it to a head on this radio station, saying we don't have to do this anymore. We can rededicate our life tonight. We can repent tonight. We can turn our life over to Christ tonight. We don't have to stay like you are. We don't have to let the stupid spirit of fear hold us back from enjoying everything God has to offer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Getting on that last one, the spirit of self-control. Fear manifests itself in control, and when we attempt to control others, it is damaging. However, when we operate in a spirit of self-control, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control, we need to control our own heart. It's not for us to control others. When we operate in a spirit of fear, we are focused on and concerned with managing our own heart. The spirit of self-control gives us the ability to maintain the internal environment of our heart. Self-control, it gives us the ability to respond to situations as opposed to reacting to situations. We are able to respond to situations instead of all these knee-jerk reactions. We don't have to do that. We have a spirit of self-control, a spirit. It's like a spirit of discipline. We have self-control. We're disciplined. You know, we don't have to live with a spirit of fear. We don't have to live double-minded. We have a sound mind. This spirit of self-control is a sound mind. James 1 and 19 says that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This can only be accomplished when we are freed from fear and operate in the spirit of self-control. Self-control. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All I can say tonight is the devil got a good pooping tonight. He got a good flipping. Amen.
I want to hit this last spirit, a spirit of adoption.
All right.
This is how we break off the spirit of fear and walk in the spirit of power, love, and self-control. And the spirit of adoption is in Romans 8 and 15. And what it says is, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It is vital that we understand the spirit of adoption because it defends who we are. We can embrace the truth that as his sons and daughters, we no longer have the spirit of slavery, which leads to fear. Amen?
Amen. Well, you know
amen.
What? Amen. I'm going to turn the line on, so I'm going to open up the phone. Got a statement to make, a question, something you've heard tonight? Got a statement, something to say, because both times that these two teachers have been on air has blessed me beyond my understanding, because I take a lot of come up to the top. I have no fear, but I have power of God, because love penetrates deep in me and outside of me. And I say this to anybody, if you got a sound mind, God is always there. So the line's open. Anybody got a statement to make? Well, I want to tell you tonight that the night's been a good night, but it's one thing I'll say it, and I will just say it if you don't mind it. Scripture on top of scripture, because if we're going to learn what God wants us to do, we're going to have to know the Word of God. If that going to the table and going to eat, don't have nothing to eat about, well, ain't no food on the table. Have you tried to prepare something to put on the table? See, everything that God has given us, and one thing I will say, I always ask the Holy Spirit, don't leave me, Holy Spirit. Whatever you do, Holy Spirit, please don't leave me. And the person said, why? When the Holy Spirit leaves, ain't nothing here. It means a second in. So I don't have to, I'm pleading with him. Why? Because I want to stay in contact with him. Am I right? Yeah. Do I believe? Yes. Do I want to see with God? Yes, I do. God wants to use all of us. And I want you to know, everyone on the radio with me tonight that are listening, the God we serve is an awesome God. And you know what? What kept Moses out of the promised land? Disobedience. Do you know what he not to walk? Obedience. There's a distinct difference between the two. Moses got obedient. The other brother decided, he said, well, Lord, said, come walk with me. And I would have to say it like this. He said, come walk with me. He said, I want to. And God put his arm around him. He said, keep looking at it, but I want to show you something. See that Pleiades over there? See that star cluster? See that galaxy? I did that. The more he walked with God, the Bible says, still walking with God. And I believe in the latter days he will return back. But right now, since there have been such great teaching from all you and Tracy, y'all have taught me, y'all lucky, I'm ready to go get me a piece of spiritual food now, more of it. Because the teaching that both of y'all did tonight, she talked about the seven spirits of God. Here you come talking about having no, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear to the believer. So I want to thank both of y'all for being on the radio tonight. God bless y'all. So until next time, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you, and the peace of God be upon everyone that's listening tonight. Amen. If there are no more statements, amen. God bless you,
amen.
And the peace of God be with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.